Blog Talk Radio.
From the studios of Teeing It Up in Swamps of Jersey in Daytona Beach, Florida, this is Teeing It Up Presents the Sunday Sprint for a Sunday. What is it? I should have noted this earlier. September 25th, the year 2016, this is Teeing It Up Presents the Sunday Sprint with Jeremy Schilling. I'm Jeremy Schilling, and my co-host is Mr. Luke Morrow. Hello, sir.
Well, hello.
This show is not live because Luke is presiding over a wedding, which Luke likes to do. And these people, I gather, and the reason why this is not live is that they decided to get their wedding ceremony done before football, which I believe is the smartest possible move you can make.
Those who watch football together stay together, I think, is what they say. And that's what this couple has decided to do.
So this leads me to my next question, Luke, which is if I, when I get married, you recommend that I do it way before the golf coverage comes on for that day, right?
I'll let you know how 7:15 a.m. weddings go,
ooh,
and then I'll get back.
Okay. Speaking of 7:15, that's when some players in the 1 o'clock games will be waking up, and that's when Josh Norman will be getting ready to take on Odell Beckham in a rematch of last year's Panthers-Giants game that led to the NFL instituting soccer's yellow and red card rule because of unsportsmanlike conduct. This is a fascinating game because on paper, the Giants have been the better team thus far this year. Washington fans are not happy whatsoever, and we have a scenario where there's some grouchy human beings down there in the capital. The Giants should win this game, but I don't know how Norman changes that balance.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, for one, I think this whole Norman Beckham Jr. thing has been made a bigger deal by certainly the press and those outside of the buildings, but when Norman and Beckham have been asked about it, they kind of play it down. I don't recall them ever bringing it up on their own, just when they're asked about it. And I feel like it's almost being made a bigger situation than it actually is. With that said, in terms of the actual football game, it'll be interesting to see how often those two actually line up across from one another. That's been the big drama in Washington to get this guy, spend so much money on Norman, and then play sides of the field with your cornerbacks while the offense puts their best receiver on the other side from Norman and tear up their other cornerbacks. So we'll see where Norman, how often he lines up with Beckham. But for the Redskins, I mean, this is essentially a must-win this early in the year. You can't fall behind 0-3. Kirk Cousins has been struggling. I don't think things are going to get any easier against this Giants defense that through 2 weeks at least looks pretty good.
You know, we always talk about this, Luke, which is matchups. And taking advantage of matchups. The Jets are going through this right now with Mr. Revis. This seems like a game, don't you think, that if the Giants get off to a good start, set the tone, and maybe get a couple pass plays, maybe put Beckham in the slot or kind of move him around, where this whole Norman storyline just immediately goes away if the Giants surge out to a lead?
I'm sure it will. For the Giants to be able to do so, obviously, would go a long way on the scoreboard. But for the Redskins, when you start off 0-2, and then you take on a good Giants team, and if you fall behind immediately, it's almost kind of like mentally, oh, here we go again. You're on the road. You're trailing. Things haven't really been going Washington's way. So just in terms of the psyche, the Redskins would be tested early by falling behind like that. And then the Giants would be able to key in on Kirk Cousins, who really needs to bounce back, and that wouldn't do him any favors.
The Jets are going to face the Chiefs later today. Later today at 4:25, and I don't know what to think about this team. I was very pessimistic last Thursday, as you know. I thought the season would be over. If they lost that game, they would go to 0-2 and probably lose to go to 0-3 today against Kansas City. They got it, they dug it out, but they did it because Ryan Fitzpatrick went nuts and the Bills' defense was utterly atrocious. I don't quite know what to think about this game or what will happen in this game. I do know this. If Brandon Marshall doesn't play and it's a game-time decision, it does change the Jets' passing game a little bit. And number two, they have to continue to run the ball with Matt Forte. If they don't do that and they have trouble, this game can get a little bit awry, and that's when you start worrying about the Jets' defense giving up big plays.
For both these teams, to me, I'm not really sure just yet what to expect from them. For the Jets, from week one to week two was pretty different to me. And then for the Chiefs, outside of 30 minutes of football, they have not looked good this year. However, those 30 minutes was quite a comeback against the Chargers, who then went on to blow out a team in the following game. So I really don't know what to expect from Kansas City. They obviously ended last season playing really good football. Looks like they were going to begin after that week one comeback victory to continue that trend. And then kind of laid an egg last week against Houston, and we saw what happened with the Texans. But, of course, the NFL is a week-to-week business. So for both these teams, I could see them week in and week out at this point going each way. For the Jets, we talked earlier in the year where they've got talent, but kind of on the older side, you were concerned they could possibly go 0-6. They also have the talent, if they were playing well enough, that they could get off to a great start to the year. And it's almost like which Chiefs team, which Jets team is going to show up on that day to me at this point in the season. And maybe the saving grace for Kansas City is that they're home, and that can be such a tough place to play.
Look, the Jets could still go 1-5, so don't, you know, still. You know, things could be bad, trust me. Things people thought would be bad after Adrian Peterson went down for your Vikings against the Panthers, but lo and behold, and we talked about this in the show on Monday, Luke, lo and behold, you gut out the game, you make Aaron Rodgers scratch his head, and now you face Carolina, a team that has kind of had a topsy-turvy start to the season and a topsy-turvy week in Charlotte with all the violence there. This is an interesting game on paper.
Yeah, they're considering moving the game, and that would be a huge detriment to not only the city of Carolina, but to the football team of the Panthers, who have won 14 straight there at home. And Cam Newton's a different quarterback in front of the home crowd, but they will stick around there in Charlotte to play the game, and we'll see what occurs on the field. But for the Vikings, I mean, the news didn't stop with Adrian Peterson. He goes under the surgery, may most likely miss the entire season, and then from there we lose Matt Khalil for the season, our left tackle. And then we lose one of our defensive tackles, Sharif Floyd, for potentially 4 to 6 weeks. We went under the knife this week as well. So three different Vikings starters having surgery this past week in front of a matchup against Carolina will make things interesting. But, you know, the Panthers obviously lost week one. I don't think they played as well as many expected in week two against the terrible Niner team. And we'll see what happens here. But when Zimmer faced Cam Newton the only other time in his career back in 2014, Cam put up statistically what I think is, I want to say, the fifth worst game statistically in his career. And Zimmer was able to confuse him that day, much like he did Rodgers on Sunday night. Hopefully he can do it again in Carolina this afternoon. The Vikings run a similar defense to what Wade Phillips and the Broncos used to confuse Cam in the Super Bowl in week one this year. So the Vikings will try to slow down Cam and hopefully have Xavier Rhodes back in the secondary to help out to do so.
And for me, this is going to be very interesting to see what happens with the emotions of the crowd. Cam is a very emotional player. Can he keep his emotions in check as they get ready to play that game? What's our next game? Our next game, I believe, is the Packers game against the Lions, which I chose for this, Luke, because I'm curious to see what happens in this division. I think the Vikings starts a fluke. I don't think they can stay, you know, undefeated, obviously, but I also don't think they can stay easily over 500 without, you know, with Sam Bradford and with no AP, which brings in the Lions, which brings in, obviously, the Packers. This is an intriguing game where I think if the Lions want to finally get over the hump, they got to win this game.
And they always struggle in Lambeau. Now, they finally broke an incredibly long losing streak, something like 24 years, I think it was, with a win in Green Bay last year. Now they'll try to make it two in a row. And the Lions had a big week one offensively, and then week two only managed something like 15 points. And I think the offense for the Lions is going to be something to track all season long with the changes that they've gone through. Now they lost one of their talented running backs. You have Jim Bob Cooter, the new offensive coordinator, trying to mesh things with Stafford and company there. But, you know, for the Packers, we saw Sunday against the Vikings, and the Vikings have one of the top defenses in the league. But for Aaron Rodgers now, this is 14 straight games with a passer rating below 100, I think it is. He had the worst passer rating of his career Sunday night. He just doesn't look the same. And at a certain point, I think we have to stop leaning on the crutch of, well, there was no Jordy Nelson last year. Now Jordy Nelson isn't quite back into this offense. I mean, Rodgers is such a talented quarterback that it shouldn't matter if you take away one receiver or if that receiver is still working his way back from injury. Something's going on with that offense. I don't know if it's because Mike McCarthy has started to call the plays, but Green Bay needs to figure things out on that side of the football.
Falcons and Saints Monday night repeat of the 10-year anniversary of the post Katrina game, which is also known as the Steve Gleason game. For me, this is a Saint team that is that both these teams have aging quarterbacks, top flight quarterbacks at one time. It's an interesting early season matchup of where these guys are and where their teams are, especially New Orleans, whose window I believe is closing.
New Orleans played a lot better at home, much like specifically Drew Brees, so I don't think you fall to 0-3 for New Orleans in front of the home crowd. The Falcons secondary is very vulnerable. These two teams, for me, Falcons are playing better than I expected, Saints playing worse than I expected, of course, but it'll be a good matchup Monday, but I don't think either of these teams are really long for the season this year.
No. Luke, unfortunately, we're getting to the end of our show, which means we must do game picks. Luke, what is your game of the day?
Game of the day, I'm going to have to say Steelers-Eagles, just because we'll find out if the Eagles are true or not.
I'm with you on that. Didn't talk about that game on this show, but Carson Wentz, you know, how's he do against the Mike Tomlin defense? Your sleeper game?
Sleeper game, I will say the Broncos-Bengals.
Chargers-Colts. I'm concerned about this Indianapolis secondary. Your game to watch the final round of the Tour Championship during?
Obviously the Browns-Dolphins, which I will be getting on TV here.
Ooh, that's bad luck. How about the Rams-Bucks? I just have no feeling for that game. And your Survivor game?
I'm going to go a little bold. I'm going to go with those Dolphins that I just mentioned against the Browns with a rookie quarterback.
Dallas against Chicago. I don't like them. The Bears, that is. The Bears might be the worst team in football.
They're down there.
I mean, they're bad. Jay Cutler's bad, too. And finally, your player to watch today.
Aaron Rodgers has to figure things out offensively, and then we'll see if Carson Wentz can keep up with Big Ben and company.
Cam Newton, can he hold his emotions in check? Luke, I hope the wedding was fantastic. Luke will tell us about the wedding tomorrow on Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, where we will also preview the Ryder Cup. Thank you, sir.
Can't wait.
Enjoy your football Sunday, everybody.